We have a really special guest today. We have Robbie Bessner joining the show with Dr. Pompa and I, and we have an awesome topic for you guys today, and it is on EMFs, electromagnetic fields. So a hot topic and something that you really need to know about because they are affecting our health. So welcome, Robbie and Dr. Pompa. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, fantastic.
I'm doing great, thanks.
Yeah. Well, Robbie, I have to say, I we get a lot of questions, right, Meredith, about the EMFs and electromagnetic frequencies. So we better, even some people watching here go, what the heck are you talking about EMFs? What are these electromagnetic frequencies? So we'll have to answer that before we start. But, I have to put this into, some type of reference frame for people. As far as our number one goes, Meredith, we always talk about removing the source. And we reference it by saying physical stressors, chemical stressors, and emotional stressors can all come together in what is a perfect storm. And Robbie, these are the people that watch this show. This is how they get sick. This is, what I hear story after story of how this is when my life changed. And, I have clients from all over the world, and these are the stories that I hear. And it's always a combination of these three stressors. Now we have a fourth stressor, perhaps. I mean, EMFs, electromagnetic frequency. Where does it fit in? Does it fit in with physical? Does it fit in with chemical? Does it fit in with emotional? Or is this a fourth one? So, I'm not sure, but I hope that question gets answered because I believe this is a major stressor that drives cellular inflammation, cellular dysfunction, a topic that we talk a lot about on this show. But here's where we have to start, Robbie. How in the world did you get so interested in this topic, become an expert in this topic, develop many devices that help people avoid these stressors and these exposures, and you better define what an EMF is in case we have some new watchers. So, Robbie, I'm going to ask that question to you.
Certainly, and thank you for having me. I couldn't agree with you more in terms of it being a stressor, and it folds right into everything and all of your disciplines because it clearly is there. The problem with this, and I think the biggest problem with EMF, is the one of that it's silent. You can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't see it, you can't hear it. So does it exist? Where we can feel all these other things, as you already know from your own studies, it's just there's one extra little thing that seems to tip you over. And here is this thing that's out there. It's this big elephant that we can't see that's in the room. Right. And it's really being driven by technology and embraced by everyone because people are just drawn to wireless this and Bluetooth that and electric cars. And, so back to the Genesis, in the days of Jesus and Moses and Buddha and all those days, we didn't have electricity. We didn't have electric smog. We didn't have EMF. It's a man-made technology or let's say the result of electricity. Anything that plugs into a wall will generate these electromagnetic fields. And the question is how powerful is the field and how close is your body to it or what's the exposure to your body that is going to actually cause that to become a stressor of sort. Now, some of the latest science on this, Dr. Pompa, is that actually, as you know, the body has electric currents going through it. It drives our whole neurological system, all the synapses between nerve to nerve. So, in fact, our bodies respond to EMF. In fact, the cell itself can have a field around it, an electrical field around it. It has a charge around it. So the issue here isn't so much about EMF, it's the overexposure to the intensities of these power grids and the EMFs that stand outside the body, that are out there in the world, that are being imposed on us by technology, that's creating an imbalance of these fields inside of us, thus throwing off our cellular function, creating an imbalance of sort, putting a little more stressor onto the body. And ultimately, I think that it starts to weigh on our immune systems, suppressing our immune systems, allowing pathogens and other diseases and so forth to run rampant. So that I think is the key to all of this. Now, yep. I'm sorry.
Especially when you put it in light of all the other stressors. I mean, it's the same true for toxins, right? I mean, there's toxins in our environment. Our cells create their own toxins when they make ATP for energy. You know, but again, it's the overload is what I hear you saying. I mean, I know that granite, rock, the earth gives off a certain magnetic frequency, correct?
That's totally correct.
Right, yeah. So, and there's natural toxins like heavy metals in our environment, but it is this overexposure. Then we put this new increase is what you're saying. It's these massive amounts that are creating this disruption. You know, so then you put together some PowerPoints for us, some slides. So I don't want to take away from that. And if the answer to this question is within there, just to, you know, reference that. But I mean, a simple cell phone then, you know, becomes yet another source. Is the cell phone a problem in itself, or is it because of these bigger sources or all the other stressors that this now becomes a problem?
Well, it's great. I mean, to the cell phone industry, of course, there's no problem with it. Yeah. To the individual that's using it.
Though. Don't they have warnings now? I mean, within their literature?
Yeah. If you actually read the fine print on your iPhone or Android, it'll say don't use the cell phone within 18 inches of your face, you know. So I don't know about you, but I don't see that many people that are walking around talking on their phones like this, you know, pretty much.
Meredith, with the phone out here on speakerphone. I do the same thing, by the way. I keep my phone on speakerphone.
Yeah, well, you're smart about it because actually there, unless you do things, and we'll get into that in towards the end of our discussion about what are the ways to fix this.
Right, yeah.
Because
yeah.
From what I can see, you really can't stop the progression. It's almost like the train has left the station on technology.
Yeah.
You can't really get in the way of big industry, just like we experienced with the pharmaceutical companies and so forth. You can't get in the way of the big machines. You just have to understand it and then do what you can to work around it, protect your body, your family, your home, you know. And I sort of highlighted that because when I identified, what happened to me was, you know, we're kind of experts on the infrared industry. And what occurred to me was, well, I've got this device that's powered by either a battery or by some, you know, a plug. So I'm generating an EMF through that device. So what's the relationship between the fields that we're generating in our own creations, in our own devices, and the power of the healing of infrared frequency? And so what I thought was, if I could study and remediate or filter the EMF out of the equation, that what I'm delivering in my products are just pure healing elements. And so that's what got me started on all this about 8 years ago, and not realizing how advanced this whole grid thing, and, you know, I mean, it's crazy now with smart meters. I don't know if you guys have those in Utah yet or in Pennsylvania, but down in Florida, they put these smart meters. Do you have one of those on your home or that you know about?
We don't, but I know of them very well, and more people are having these put on their homes unknowingly.
Exactly. And that's what happened to us in the middle of the night. It's almost like they come with hoods on. Yeah. They come to your home. They remove the meters that, you know, go clink, 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 to put this smart meter on your home that, again, is communicating to a grid in almost a nanosecond, and that grid is these micro towers. As to the amount of utility that you're using, it turns out, and I have a small slide on this, so we'll go over this quickly, or Meredith, when we get to it, you can just kind of click over it. But the smart meter on my home is virtually 4 inches from the main power, the main water pipe that feeds my entire home. So within a month of them putting that meter on my house, all the shrubs and flowers and plants that were within 3.5 to 4 feet, they all keeled over and died. Wow. in my front yard. So now that's, wow. I didn't train the plant and animal to do that. They're all clearing out or dying on, you know, because of these frequencies. What do you think those frequencies or those energies are doing? How do you think that's influencing the water that I'm drinking and showering with and everything else? You know, so you can purify and filter out participants and chlorines and chemicals and so forth, but what about these energies and how are they affecting us?
Right.
It's a serious problem. And One of the biggest problems, and I guess maybe Meredith, you want to start hitting the slides because we can kind of click through it.
Go ahead and do that because I want to know how people can identify if they have one of those. So, I mean, I know people are thinking that right now, and I've been asked that question. I want to say this too before you jump into that, Robbie. We sell and believe strongly, and so do the doctors that I teach, in the infrared sauna units that you developed. And Meredith, I think you referenced this episode. 20, was it?
20, the original sauna episode, yep.
Yeah, exactly, and where we talked about your sauna. I have one. I use your technology. You've even created pads that give off a certain negative ion and infrared together. And, you know, so you, just for people to understand that you've developed a lot of technology, which we'll talk about, to help deal with this problem. So thank you for that. But okay.
By the way, that's one of the remedies. Whether you realize it or not, when you get into the sauna or use the infrared, it actually will pull the electromagnetic fields that are being stored by the body and the muscles and the tissues out. It's another kind of detox.
Yeah, so, you know what? I want people to understand that, you know, this is just another stressor. And again, when we get people well, Robbie, the thing is remove the interference, the body does the healing. This is another interference. This is, you know, I always say that our buckets start to fill from the time we're, you know, in utero, you know, all the way till your, you know, current age. You know, here is another stressor filling the bucket. And it is imperative that we control these things that we can control. I always say, look, we can't control every toxin, right? I mean, you just can't. But, you know, this is one that a lot of which we can't control, but there's some major parts of it we can't. But anyways, okay, so jump right in there. And that was one of the questions I had. What is the EMF?
Okay. I seem to have lost Meredith. Do you have her on your screen?
Nope. She'll call back in. But, okay.
I'm here. I'm just sharing the screen. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay, yep. So I'm here. I'm just sharing my screen, so you can't see me until we quit presenting the PowerPoint.
All right, you're hiding. Okay,
so just
you're behind.
Let me know when to move on to different slides.
He's behind that screen. Okay, go ahead, Robbie.
So, what was the question that we wanted to talk about first?
I would just go into what you have here because there it is. You know, what is an EMF? I mean, you kind of started to answer that, obviously.
Okay, so. So the question is, what is EMF and how does it affect our body and to what degree? And because the studies are just coming out, and I should tell you, I feel so strongly about this, Dr. Pomper. It's almost like I believe the way that the cigarette industry, the way Philip Morris knew 50 years ago that cigarettes weren't good for us, in a way they also knew it would take 50 years for the world to catch on, you know? And I think that with this EMF, it's the same kind of thing. Technology is ahead of the human resource side, or at least the way that it's affecting our physiology, because it's so non-tangible, you can't see it per se, that I think for that reason it will come out in the future as we're moving forward. People will become more and more sensitive to these fields and the stressors related to it. And, you know, just taking your disciplines, you know, if you can control things, if you can understand that this is another stressor and do what you can to remediate and remove that as a source, then you're really getting down to true healing and allowing the body to do what it's meant to do naturally. So, so if we slip to the next slide, then I think you'll see what I find it to be a really interesting slide. Are you on this one too? Can you see
the electrosmog controversy.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so what I find interesting about this slide is if you look to the bar chart, on the left is the U.S. and Canada. These are the standards, by the way, for RF and EMF guidelines that the FCC, the Communication and the Trade Commissions, the FTC, the guidelines that they've set up for our country, of which devices that are sold can have tolerance in terms of the amount of frequency they give off.
Right.
So you can see U.S. Canada leading, you know, the top, leading in a negative way, by the way, and then Australia just underneath that. But look where the rest of the world is.
Wow.
It's like way down there, you know, and...
Why is that, Robbie? Why is that?
Well, If I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd say it had a lot to do with economics, because if you ever really look closely at how many health-minded people sit on the panels that make the rules at the FCC or the FTC, you'll realize there's virtually no health imposition. It's all done from the health community and people like yourself and I and other scientific people that are discovering that these are real things that affect our bodies in a negative way. But the economics is driving that chart. And what I find interesting is that the Europeans and outside the U.S., they've taken a different position on that. And actually, while I was preparing these slides, I discovered this. I'm not sure whether you can see it or not. I'm just posting it up there. But actually, the mayor of Italy just yesterday presented to the World Health Organization that he is he's actually taking out the wireless networks in all of his schools because he feels it's affecting the kids. And that was that second part of that slide where you say, where I show you I'm not a science experiment, because basically I feel, you know, and later on in the slideshow you'll see some pictorials, which I showed you on the bus that night, of actually a photographer that captured these fields. When I show this stuff to kids, Dr. Pompa, they're enamored by it. They're drawn to it. The colors, the motion, everything is great about it. Unfortunately, as you know, from 0 to 15, like the Wonder Bread years, a lot of their bodies are still formulating. Their brains are getting settled. The connective tissues haven't really matured to the point where they can truly defend themselves, yet they're being drawn to this technology. How many kids do you see in the malls these days, these little toddlers that are carrying cell phones or iPads or wireless devices? So they're all being sort of drawn into the technology without understanding, without the parents understanding, without all of us, the communities understanding the negative impact that these fields can have on us, particularly the kids.
Just like any toxin, the kids are at greater risk than we are. You know, we interviewed Professor Seneff from MIT, you know, and she was talking about the same thing with glyphosate. It's being sprayed all over all of our food. Who's infecting? Kids. That's why we have kids with leaky gut and problems and autoimmune we've never seen before, driving cancer. You know, and here we are right here. You know, and then I did an interview with Professor Seyfried. We talked about cancer and something disrupting the mitochondria. And Dr. Warburg years ago identified certain environmental stressors that are causing the mitochondria to be disrupted, and then aka cancer down the road, right? EMFs, no doubt, is having an effect on the mitochondria and therefore, you know, driving conditions like cancer.
Exactly. And later on, actually, just the other day, I was doing some further research in this, and, you know, I know you've heard of Dr. Klinghart up north, and he's done a lot of work with Lyme and a lot of things, and he identified in his clinic that that the amount of biotoxins that are emitted from yeast and molds when they are exposed to higher levels of EMF are tenfold. It's exponentially greater. So it just suggests that not only are these EMFs suppressing our immune system, our ability to fight off, but it's also igniting the populations of all these bad bugs that are inside of us.
It's
double whammy, you know, it's incredible.
I've said it for years about mercury. You know, we have populations that have Lyme and yet they express no symptoms. However, when these people are under other stressors like, you know, mercury, etc., now all of a sudden Lyme becomes a problem. Candida, same thing. EMF is doing the exact same thing mercury does, you know, really igniting these pathogens. They almost hide, you know, from the immune system and gain an extra energy from this stuff. And EMF is what I hear you saying is doing the same thing. Interesting.
Yeah. What I find intriguing about it is that our body has a frequency. It has an EMF. The problem is when we're exposed to an inordinate amount from the grid, from outside, the oscillation of the frequencies start to change the frequency of the EMF that the body naturally resonates at. So that's what's taking us off the page here and creating that stressor. So for the microbes and so forth, it's not an unfamiliar ground to be around EMF. It's actually something common to them. What is happening is with the volumes being turned up, and that's actually energizing them. It's giving them more fuel to the fire. So
it could be even worse than even what mercury does, you know. And I do have a question. You know, so, I mean, when we looked at the rest of the country, or the world, I should say, I mean, you said, I mean, the train's left the station. There's no way we can shut down the grid, right? So, I mean, they're still on the grid in Europe. You know, these other, China, my gosh, I mean, they're all on the grid. So to see that difference, I mean, what is the difference, though? I mean, I get it that we have a more of a vested interest in some of these things that are causing it, but what are some of those things? The grid's still there.
Yeah, I don't know. We both travel a fair amount. I know that when I leave the U.S. and I see how other cultures maintain their health care, like in Asia they practice health care incrementally, like the foods they eat and the Tai Chi they do, the energy work they do, it's inbred in their culture, which seems to be a little different than the U.S. And when I go to Europe, it's, again, different. They're much more natural, homeopathic. They resonate with the kind of work that you do because it's more cultural. So it doesn't surprise me when there are towns and cities and villages and the reaction to technology there that they're actually shutting it down and saying, okay, you want wireless, that's fine, but not in every Starbucks coffee house you go to. You know, you have to actually go somewhere for it, as opposed to here, it's just in your car, in your plane, in your automobile, you know what I mean, your home, and in, you know, even the word hotspot, oftentimes when I teach at Hippocrates, I say to this, when I hear the word hotspot, I want to go in the other direction, but yet everybody here, you hear hotspot, well, that's great, because now my phone can work, and my iPad can work, and I don't need a plug for my laptop. Everything is there because I'm in a hotspot. Wow, you know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what I hear you saying then is it's the range or the broad or the power of the, you know, the EMF that places are putting out, the number of, you know, the amount of access, I guess, we have to the hotspots, you know,
yeah,
is much less in Europe than it is here. It's, you know, probably why people's cell phones, you know, they leave the U.S. and they're always complaining about the service other places.
Sure. And they're more proactive in understanding that some of this technology, as great as it might be on the technical side, isn't necessarily that healthy for you until we can actually make a determination or do something to protect ourselves. We're just not going to have it run rampant.
Yeah.
And it's got a different emphasis. So, Meredith, can we slip to the next one if you don't mind?
Yeah, so we're on the technical world, EMF overload. So just tell me where to go
to the our technical world, the one just before the overload. And what I find interesting about this slide is something that I experienced when I was traveling to Arizona. Well, we were together, but I noticed the cactuses and so forth, and you know, certainly the first upper left-hand side, everyone's familiar with those towers. If you're going along the highways, you can see them, and even though they're obtrusive, it doesn't seem to bother you because you're in the desert or you're somewhere, and you just think you're okay, it's just part of the grid. What got me crazy was when I went into town, and I noticed, if you see on the right side where you see those cactuses are cell towers.
Yeah, I saw that when I was in Arizona.
And you know, all it is the, I guess, I don't know if it's like art disguised as life or life disguised as art or technology disguised as life. I don't know, other than to make it less obtrusive, I suppose, right? It's pretty to look at, but it makes you unaware that, in fact, that's a tower. The lower left, you can see a tall tree that's a tower. Even the building that looks like a church with a clock, that is all cellular. That's an entire grid that's inside that building. There's no inhabitants in there. There's no one that lives in there. That building was erected just to disguise cellular towers and this grid activity. So
imagine living near that, like, you know, thinking that it's a normal building, you know, and you wonder why your headaches start, you wonder why you don't feel normal anymore and you can't sleep. It's because you live within a mile of that thing. I mean, who knows the radius of that?
I lost you. I'm not
Yeah, I said, who knows the radius of that? If you live near it, that would be horrific.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So next to the next slide, there's a guy that wrote a book. His name is Robert Becker, and he wrote a book called The Body Electric. And basically, he's just sort of homing in on the effects of these electromagnetic fields and how they're affecting our bodies. And you'd love this book because he really gets to the how EMFs affect us biochemically, and even get down to the cell membrane and the receptors, and you know everything and all your work is about, Doc. He's hitting it right on the head.
Wow.
Well, so back to the next slide, and you can see the body has its own field. If we were in the 60s, we would be called an aura, you know? You got an aura about you. Now that we're in the 21st century, it's actually these biofields that are around us. And it's a net, it's a safety net of energy that's around the body, keeps us all connected a little bit. But more importantly, what happens to your biofield, and this stuff can be tested, you know, with kinesiology, muscle testing. There's various different ways for you can, there's actually scientific instruments that can show the skin resonance or the electrical current that's on the skin surface and how that's affected when you bring an EMF field close to you. But just imagine if you've got this safety net of energy around you, and now you're being immersed in an EMF hotspot, and then you've got, you know, let's say healing energies like infrared and different things that are in nature, that even food sources and things that you bring into yourself. If your body is on defense because of this silent EMF guy that's out there, there's a part of you, there's energy that you're expounding and actually trying to protect yourself, that, you know, similar to the way your immune system works. If you are just fighting off one microbe or one virus or one bacteria, it might be okay. You can keep it under control. But if you start getting hit from all angles, then all of a sudden you don't have as many, you don't have as much army or energy or life resource to defend yourself. And these are the stressors that we're talking about. And it's there. It's very prevalent. So onto the next slide is kind of an interesting one, because this actually shows a thermographic imaging of what it looks like just having a cell phone close to your head, and 15 minutes later. So the top slide, you kind of see all the greens and the blues, and that's normal. And then after 15 minutes, you can see how hot the side of your cheek and your face is getting. And then to the right of that is actually an MRI, and you can see, you know, after the same 15 to 30 minutes of time frame, how that energy, the EMF, is actually affecting your brain. So one thing we can discuss is certainly about these frequencies. The other thing is, what is it actually doing to brain transmission, your neurological system? Is it slowing it down? You know, not just even cellular function, but even your ability to have your brain communicate to body function, to organ function, get the proper messaging out. Is it getting there completely? Is it being cut off? Is it being muted? Because then, in fact, the body is slowed down because of the effect of these harmful frequencies. I think the whole topic is something that needs to be delved into. But more importantly, I think that if we become, at least from today, become aware that these things exist, and then start to put in some steps to try to protect ourselves, our homes, our families, our communities, then I think that we're in the right direction, because no matter which way technology goes, at least we can remove one thing from the equation. So if we advance to the next slide, you can see just some, this is the slides that blew me away that I showed you on the bus that night.
Yeah.
This is a wireless network. These are the frequencies for the first time. And when I, when I show these, when I'm in conference or to people, the first thing is I say, if you know what it is, don't tell me. If you don't know what it is, we'll speak about it in a few minutes. But just keep in your mind what you think it might be. And mostly everybody in the room, about 90% of the people, don't have a clue. But as soon as I tell them that this is what an EMF looks like, they go, oh my God, you mean that's what's in my home? That's what is at Starbucks? This is what my, and you'll see in the next slide, This is a architect building in Manhattan. They open up the door, and these frequencies are coming out, and to the right slide is like a kaffa bar or one of those, like a Starbucks type thing, wireless network. And then the next slide, these are actually cell phones, and you can see them on the bottom on the floor there where they're lit up. And if you just took your cell phone and someone called you, these are the energies that are emitting off of your phone without any kind of remediation of any kind. So this just blows me away. Where the kids are drawn to this, I look at that and I'm going, oh my God, you know, this is all around us. So that's coming from your phone. Now you can imagine how that's, and I'll show you a slide later on, but what that actually looks like in your normal living room where you've got people with their cell phones and laptops and so forth, and it gets kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I mean, Meredith, what does this do for you? Because, you know, when I saw these things, it really made an impact on me. Is she with us?
Yeah, very shocking. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Can
you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Totally.
All right. Great. I'm not visible right now, but yeah, when you first sent me these images, I was shocked as well. I know that EMFs are a problem, but just the visual is very stunning. And I know that you know, just something that I do is I always put my phone in airplane mode every night when I sleep, but the rest of the time I don't. And it's just scary to think about those EMFs constantly surrounding us and the impact they're having. So really shocking images, and really just important for all of us to see, to know.
Right, and you know what, Meredith, you're better than most, because that's actually one of the things I was going to suggest is that airplane mode, people forget that they can turn their phone off and or they can put it into airplane mode. And when you do that, all you're doing is disconnecting your phone from the tower, because they're constantly communicating to that grid back and forth. Are you okay? I'm okay. Similar to what we learned in med school about cell to cell, right? Are you okay? I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's going on with technology. But unfortunately, not to our favor in terms of these, in reference to these energies.
Yeah.
So, just to the next slide, it speaks mostly to the chaos that all these wireless devices emit, and then there's this whole body of work, and it's called the artificial EMF, in contrast to the actual frequencies that are good to the body, healthy to the cell. Entrainment is the term that affects the sympathetic system or the resonance in the sympathetic system that these overloads of this chaotic amplified EMF is doing to us. It's affecting our brains, and you know, in the middle there you can see the reference here that it's affecting our sleep, and mostly it's preventing us from getting into that deep REM sleep, which, as you know, is probably the most important time of the night when we're sleeping, because the brain shuts down in a sense and allows us to go into repair mode. And if we can't get into that REM sleep because of all these frequencies that are around us, then we're not truly getting a lot of the hormonal changes that we need in order for us to get up the next day and fight another battle. So I think that, you know, it's a carryover. We get it during the day that we're bombarded with, but then we need that time to repair, to rest and sleep at night, and catch it back. And if we don't allow ourselves to do that, because our homes are infiltrated with these smart meters and wireless networks and Bluetooth devices, all this stuff, we're not giving ourselves a fighting chance. It just starts that slippery road erosion down to that ill health and getting us to that tipping point where eventually something pushes us over the top.
Yeah, exactly. The next stressor, whatever that may be.
Yeah. So the next slide speaks to smart meters, and so the top left really shows you the relationship of the meter, how it communicates from your house to the tower, to the utility office, and back and forth. Here at my house, they put a smart meter on in the middle of the night. In Florida, if I were to have it taken off, it would cost me $160 to have it taken out.
Worth it.
Oh, yeah, my God, it's worth it. By the way, I didn't do it on purpose, because I wanted to see how long it would take and what the effect of that meter would be, and I told you within a month or so most of the stuff around died. And then second to that, I wanted to create a way to protect the meter in terms of an answer to this technology, because not everybody can afford that $150 to have it taken out. And by the way, they'll surcharge you to have a meter reader to come out like the old days, right? I'm not sure what was wrong with that. But to have the meter reader costs you $16 a month to have your meter read by person. So the old way, the new way. And now here's a little interesting picture of just a utility room. So Dr. Pomp, imagine you're living in an apartment and your apartment happens to be next to the utility room. So yeah. You do something to remediate your apartment, your physical space, but what if if your head, the back of the wall that the head of your bed is on, is on the other side of that wall is that,
whoa,
that wall of meters.
Yeah, you're going to get sick. So you can see the differences there, the old one versus the new one. It looks like the new one just has like one little screen. What's in that screen? I can't see, Rob.
Yeah, it's just these little digital, it's a digital meter.
Okay.
And it just clicks away, you know, tick, 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 tick,
so
tick, like
that. So the new ones have a digital meter instead of those little clocks. Is that what we kind of look for?
Yeah, exactly. So if you see a meter on your home, near your house or whatnot, in the utility room, that in fact, and I can show you some blow-ups of that later if it helps you, but if you see anything that looks like it's a digital clock, you know, the LED clock, then that's a smart meter.
No.
There's a, you know, and just the bottom right gives you an understanding of the economics. The blue were months where it was just a regular meter reader. The red is the new smart meter, so the utility companies can see higher economics. They're receiving more information, guests doing better billing, but mostly extracting more money from the population due to this technology. So for them, they're winning. It's a winning proposition.
Yeah.
Again, not considering the health aspect of it. So the next slide, I'm just looking at kind of a typical home, which is scary to think because this is where we are. We have little kids in the middle and they're huddled up and it's adorable. Again, scary but adorable. And you see around that, you've got the wireless phones, these guys that are, you know, 4 gig or 6 gig.
They've put out a lot of EMF, those things.
Yeah, totally, totally horrible in that regard. Then you see your cell phones, you know, like we all know, and then you see even the baby monitors, anything that's wireless. You got the towers, you've got your routers, you've got all your meters around. So in no time, your house is completely. In fact, you know what's scary? My wife Melody just replaced our coffee pot in our kitchen, and it has a little digital clock that syncs with my wireless network because the coffee pot needs to know what time it is, Dr. Pompa. Because it's a smart coffee pot, and it needs to know exactly when it's 7 o'clock, so at 7 o'clock it can perk my coffee, so at 7:03 I have my coffee brewed and I'm rocking. I can't turn that little clock off even if I wanted to, but when I saw it, it scared me because I didn't ask for it, yet people are drawn to it because it's the latest and the greatest, not knowing that these things are all integrated, and it's pretty amazing.
Yep.
So the next slide shows you your living room, what you can see and what you can't see. So this is what's going on in our homes. Your TV sets are generating it, your networks are generating it, and all your devices are generating it, and it really becomes sort of a cesspool of invisible frequencies that are constantly bombarding our bodies.
And by the way, Robbie, I have many clients who they can't be in that room, you know, meaning that their buckets are so full with chemical stressors, you know, et cetera, that they can't handle one more, and they can't handle the stress of those frequencies that we're looking at there. And literally, they have to defrequency their life. And when they do, they feel, oh, okay. But when they go in those environments, they just simply can't handle it until we get their toxic load down to the point where, okay, they can handle that one more stressor. I mean, just like many of my clients can't even handle the normal stress of exercise. They just can't adapt until they get to a certain level of health. But looking at that, my gosh, I mean, that's crazy.
I remember the story you told me when you were driving in the car with your son, and he turned on the Bluetooth, the hotspot in the car.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
With minutes, you start to feel ill, and you kind of kept it to yourself in a way, but then your son made a comment so that you guys had a dialogue, and then you realized it wasn't just you, it was him, and you're not...
I'm more sensitive to that stuff. So they turned on the new Bluetooth. Hey, the new car has the ability you can work on your computer. The little ones were in the back. They wanted to play their game. So my older son, Daniel, who was driving, says, I can turn that on, right? And I'm like, oh, okay. And he turns it on. I didn't think twice. And all of a sudden, I started feeling anxiety. That's all I could describe it, like an uneasiness in brain fog, too. You know, I started getting brain fog. And I thought to myself, I rolled down the window, you know. I mean, I started thinking of, like, what it could be, and it'll just go away. And 5 minutes later, it's not going away. I'm thinking it's probably just me, but I'm wondering now if it's that. But I didn't want to say anything. And just as I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should turn that off, Daniel says, I don't feel right since I turned that on, right? And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, we turned that on. He described exactly what I was feeling. We turned it off. Of course, the kids in the back didn't feel a thing. It was him and I. But, you know, as soon as he turned it off, he felt better within minutes. I felt it for probably 2 hours after that exposure, you know, so.
Yeah, by the way, the car is a big, is a problem in a way, because you've got a motor. You have all cars, electric cars even a little worse, but you've got a motor that's generating these EMFs and these fields, and you've got batteries and so forth driving that, and then the car is moving forward, so inertia is bringing all those energies to you. And so the drivers, that's why cockpits of airplanes, especially the pilots, they're all particularly insulated for these EMFs, because there they've got even more of it, and they're traveling at a faster speed, so their bodies are constantly being bombarded, and it wears them down. And, you know, so it's when you start to open your eyes, it's amazing it's all around you. But
yeah, you know, people, I have you know, clients, again, that they can't be in these hybrid cars that have the big batteries. The Teslas, I got in one, and once again, I didn't say anything. You know, those who were with me who are less sensitive were like, I feel something. And the driver of the car, he was just a driver. He just happened to be a driver of a Tesla taking people around. He said, well, could that answer why I get headaches every time I'm in this car? I'm like, absolutely. So these electric cars, maybe not such a great idea.
Well, maybe not. Or maybe there's just ways that we have to start being conscious and shield it and protect ourselves.
Absolutely. All right. That's what I said. I said, I'm sure you could do it, but some type of shielding from the big battery would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think that it's there. I think that there just needs to be a bigger voice, so we got to turn the volume up a little bit for people to understand that it's important, and then, you know, there'll be adjustments.
Right.
But if we move to the next slide, this one starts to get a little scary, because as the studies and the science on EMF is exposure becomes more prevalent, there's a body of people out there, or scientists, research doctors, that are tying the advancements in many diseases to this overexposure to the accelerated EMFs. And look at the list. I mean, childhood brain cancer, leukemia, ALS, mood disorders, heart disease, breast cancer is crazy, Alzheimer's. I mean, there's the next slide on autism is also scary. It's not a mistake that these trends are all following other trends. So, and that's one thing that I do. I study trends in healthcare and in science and so forth. And so when you've got technology paralleling, let's say pirouetting up in a certain trend, and it's being matched by a trend in a disease that's advancing, you start to say the correlation has to be there somewhere. So if we move to the next slide, you'll see the correlation between RF and EMF exposure and autism. And look how close that trend is.
You know, it's funny, Robbie. We when we interviewed Professor Stephanie Seneff, she showed a graph from 1975. By the way, that's when glyphosate was also introduced. You know, we're talking about two major stressors, glyphosate and EMF, into our society. When you look at all these diseases and how they've progressed, even obesity since 1975, coincidence? I don't think so.
I'm with you 100%. So So there's this group out there, there's many of them, but there's an international bio initiative that they actually put out these research references, and I know you're really big on this, so on the bottom of this slide, I can certainly forward this information, but for the viewership, you can click on that, the initiative on the bottom, that link. I'm sure, Meredith, you can dispense it to the doctors or however you want to do it. But you can read the body of work and the research and exactly how they're attacking the effects of these EMFs, and it's pretty compelling. But what I did prior to even realizing that today's word was going to be stress, I actually saw the word stress just kept on coming to me, and as I was preparing this, so I actually highlighted it and blackened it out in each of these little line items, and I couldn't believe how many times the word stress seems to be stressed. So some of the things that they're discovering is, you know, the effects on our immune system, of course, to suppress it, the effect on our DNA, actually damaging our DNA, and the geno expressions that are being amplified now, so genetic mutations that are occurring because of the additional effects of EMF. You know, the cellular stuff is really, really big, and you can see that it, you know, even on the very last line, electrosmog, which is the new term that's used for this, it actually affects cellular growth, the information that's passed between cell to cell. So I think that if we can actively be aware and clean up this situation, I think that we're really back on the road to where we want to be for recovery and good health.
I mean, it just shows you, you know, I say you don't get well until you fix the cell. I mean, look at the disrupt here. It's all about the cell. You know, this is why people are getting sick. It's the cell. You have to fix your cell to get well. Referring back to the interview I did with Professor Seyfried, you know, he wrote the book Cancer is a Metabolic Disease. He points out in his book and in the interview that we did with him, and Meredith can share what episode that was, but in it he said, look, all billions of dollars is going in to genetic research with cancer. They're trying to figure cancer out like it's a gene problem. And his point is, no, it's a metabolic problem that triggers a gene, and then we have cancer. Well, it really, when you go upstream and look, what it actually affects the mitochondria and creates the metabolic problem, it's toxic stress, right? EMF, chemical toxins, these are the things driving the metabolic problem. And then the cell adapts, and then we end up triggering a gene. The gene does not come first. It's the toxic onslaught, or in this case, the stressor, in this case, EMF stressor, that turns on the genes that then drive problems. So this is what we're seeing. This is what's in the research, and yet the billions of dollars being spent on these unexplainable illnesses, cancer, etc., they're looking at the gene instead of what's triggering the gene. It's very frustrating, Robbie.
Yeah, I know. It's a slow road. And there are, you know, they make great advancements, but it seems to me like sometimes they just miss the mark because they're not coming from the right perspective. And sometimes you got to take a big step back in order for you to really get that. Oftentimes these research bodies are so close to it, they can't see the forest anymore. Okay, so we know this little guy on the right. You know, this is obviously not, he didn't know about EMF then, or maybe he did, but he didn't write about it. This is anecdotal, but I like the idea that really the key to this, as you know, even from your own work, you know, raise the consciousness, make people aware that this stuff is out there. Let's educate them, and then let's show them the ways that the tools that are not expensive, by the way. There are simple things you can do that can fix these problems. And get us back on track. Yep. So I was hoping today to at least broach the topic, give you a feel for how I came into the picture, at least from my body of work. And then, you know, we've developed techniques to shield all of our devices. This year, we've also consulted with doctors' practices, dentists' practices, areas, you know, in communities that have high levels of this type of EMF exposure and ways to remediate to try to get it under control. But think about it, a dentist's office, they're doing x-rays, they've got all these devices all around them. You know, when you sit in the dentist chair, they put a lead screen on you if they're taking an x-ray. But what about all that other stuff that's swimming around in that room that you're there, or the doctor and the hygienist is exposed to, you know, all day long? It's, you don't think it affects their health overall. It's something else. But so we can do this. I actually have, you know, wanted to show you a couple of things. This is actually kind of an interesting picture. I don't know how well you can see this in the camera.
Well, you know what? It would be better if we come off, when we come off of the PowerPoint, then we could see that better, Robbie.
Okay, so we'll do that. We'll do that in a minute. Then you'll tell me when.
Exactly. Finish your PowerPoints, and then we'll pull you back.
Come back to it. All right. So basically, there's devices you can buy that aren't expensive. You can get them on Amazon. These Gauss meters, they're called. There are a few scientists. Carl Gauss is the guy, one of the guys that actually did a lot of research in the 1800s, like 1830, 1850. A guy named Faraday, Ampere. These are all the older guys that started all the studies and understanding the physics behind electricity. And so from that came a body of devices to be able to measure. So you can actually buy a Gauss meter for less than $50. That, you know, that we use ones in our work, in our research, that are hundreds. Some are a little less than 1,000. But you don't need that. An average individual can go and buy one of these things, and then they can go around their home and see, you know, where their hot spots are, per se, and then work on trying to clean up some of this stuff pretty easily. And then, like Meredith pointed out, you can turn off your, you know, your, put it on airplane mode, or turn off your phone. You can turn off your wireless network at night. What I've done in my home is, as much as I can, I've wired everything. The things that are wireless, I now have wired with Ethernet, the way it used to be done the old way. And we're noticing, even here, I'm in South Florida, that a lot of the school districts that were before installing in their laboratories, like the kids' labs, where they were all wireless and bringing all that in, now they're reverting back to actually hardwiring things the kids have to plug in. You know, I'd like to think they're all moving for the right reasons in terms of health. Sometimes it's just about internet security or parental guidance and blocking. To me, it doesn't matter, because as far as I'm concerned, if they do a hard wire, I know that they're not getting that wireless EMF. And I know that's going to be ultimately better for them. The next slide just shows you some other things you can do. The top left is a little extreme, because I wouldn't expect for you, Dr. Pompa, to have a Faraday screen, metal screen around your bed at night to be lowered down. Although I could see Merrily hitting a button on the side of the bed, having it completely automated so that you wouldn't have to do it with a string and a pulley.
Hey, believe me, my clients who struggle to sleep, if they could take off one extra stressor, I'm sure they would install that in a heartbeat. I know when I couldn't sleep when I was sick, you know, I would have installed it. But what about the little beekeeper down there by the...
Same thing. I mean, you know, you can get crazy about this if you want to. Or you can do subtle things. Like, you notice on the bottom left, you see a cell phone with a little chip on it. So if you're carrying a cell phone, that will remediate the EMF. There's a few different great technologies there. To the right of that is what they call a smart card, and that actually would go in your wallet, or you could have that on the counter. You take it out when you're flying in the airplane. These are things that would protect you. To the right of that, you see a device that plugs into your normal electric circuitry, and that would be something that could remediate all the electricity that's in your home. If you have an older home, it may not be wired right. There are certain codes that change over the years. So certain electrical codes, if you have an older home, you may actually have wires or insulations. This is actually in my office building. I had this experience. It was amazing. I was so excited one day. This new prototype of a product that I made came in. So I run into my compliance guy, and he's sitting back, Dr. Pompa, in his chair like this, with his head about an inch from the wall that joins between us and the people that are in the commercial space next to me. So I come running in and I say, Barry, look at this. It's so great. Look how cool it is. And I bring them my real expensive EMF tester. And I have it turned on, and I'm here showing my compliance guy how it's meeting our specification, how great it is. And as I'm getting closer and closer to him, I'm watching the needle on my meter go off the chart. It was like, and so the bottom line was, I was in an older commercial building, and there was something wrong with the electrical current that was being flowed through the wall that adjoins my building to my neighbor next door.
Right.
So I go running into my neighbor next door with my meter, going to the other side of the wall, trying to feel to see where his hotspot was, and there was nothing in his office. He didn't have commercial. They sold cigars. They didn't have any electrical equipment that could have possibly generated that level of EMF. It was the equivalent of basically having a microwave oven turned on with the door open. That's what my business partner was all day. He's sitting back in his chair with his head against that wall.
Wow.
Okay? So that's how scary it is, because you can't see it or smell it. And if I didn't happen to go in there and see this, so immediately I contacted the building code inspectors. I contacted the community, you know, and I said, come on in here and investigate this and get the building to change the, you know, insulation in this wall, because it's virtually like having a dangling wire, like an electrical high wire that's just dangling like this in the middle of the insulation between our two buildings. It's crazy.
Wow. Wow.
Well, anyway, so you can get smart cards that go in your wallet. You can get devices that plug in. You can get pendants and things that you wear. Like, I love the one on the top right. It's shaped like a little heart, and this, you know, is cosmetic and, you know, has some meaning, if you like, what a heart, the meaning of a heart is. Or, you know, they make jewelry that actually is pleasant to look at, that at the same time while you're wearing it as a pendant or as a stick pin or something, even a belt buckle, it can protect your body from all of these fields.
Yeah, hey, Robbie, and I know I've had this conversation with you. You know, I'm skeptical of some of these things. I'm sure some of them work. Some of them work better than others. How do we know? I mean, people just put these things out there, and, you know, I mean, how do we know? You know, on my cell phone, I have this Pong case, right? And I can look at it, and I can see, you know, there is a copper, you know, whole copper shield there that I get the science how it could pull, but, you know, how does those little things work? And is there a way of testing to see which ones work and what we don't? And then thirdly, where do people get the good stuff?
Yeah, that's actually really great questions. You know, selfishly, just from my generation of my work, we develop proprietary technology for all of our equipment, which includes identifying certain micro powders or certain elements, earth elements, that actually do it naturally. Without giving away too many secrets, there's actually a actual stone. Can you see this now? Is the camera on?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is actually a rock that comes from Russia that's called shungite, and we crush this up into micro powder, and if you integrate that into a cloth or into in a system somehow, so if you somehow get it in a capsule, it will actually protect the body from EMF. So the ways to know this, there's a couple of ways. First off, some of these things are actually studied scientifically, and they've got devices, scientific devices, that will actually measure the degree of field that's being generated. By the way, and I should have mentioned this before, and this is, by the way, the meter that I was talking about that I brought to my partner. That, so it's got like a kind of an old school kind of little thing to it, you know, a dial to it, and it can go up and down, and it's actually fluctuating a little bit right now. So the thing about EMF is this. There is a constant, or what they call a base level, which is where the electricity is just generating a field, and then there's a spike. If you're hardcore or old school, they measure the spike, the amplitude of the spike on the meter, to say that's your ultimately worst exposure, and how long it stays at the spike is how far or how important it will be to the body in terms of these frequencies actually getting in and affecting the cell. Okay? So it's not great to have any EMF at all, but if you're in front of a device like almost like you can imagine a Geiger counter, or if I put this in front of my microwave, that that dial would be going like this, bam, 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 because that's the pulse of the electricity as it's generating these fields, okay? And that's the exposure that the body gets. Mm-hmm. So...
Uh-oh.
About $50, and it's kind of cool. It's got little lights on it that light up, and so it doesn't show you to the degree like I need in point, you know, to the hundredth of a milligauss in determining, you know, what is critical and not. But this, for the average user, you can walk past the room or you can put it in front of a device and quickly see how it's kind of like blinking a little bit from time to time.
Right.
Okay, so that will give you a visual as to whether, and of course, as you get to a hotter, I wonder whether I can actually excite this or not. I'll try.
Put it next to that waving cat back there. See what he's giving off.
Oh, you like my cat? Okay, you see, I'm putting my cell phone near it, and you see how it starts to blink a little bit. Uh-huh. But as you get closer to something that's hot, if someone were to call me, then it would get more excited because it's drawing more of the microwaves to my phone than to the device. Okay, so someone can easily get one of these and go through their home and then just get a great way to know, wow, this is good. Imagine the baby's room and the kids' rooms, the toddlers, you know, to be able to go in and see. And then more importantly, you could be really good and we could be sort of religious about doing it to our homes. You might want to see what your neighbors are doing. And this is actually something that got me crazy, because we had these 4G devices as we knew before, and then we went to 5G, and now in California they just passed 6G devices. Now a 6G device, a wireless 6G network, Dr. Pompa, will generate a signal that's a half a mile away. So once again, you could be perfect in your home and protect your family, but you got your neighbor that's buying into this new 6G technology because he wants his be able to read his cell phone from the moon or something. I don't know. I mean, it's the latest and greatest. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, that frequency is going through cinder block. It's going through your walls. You know, it's kind of scary, you know?
I'm going to get the beekeeper hat if that happens in my neighborhood. I want twice just to see.
Yep. So you can get little chips like this. I carry this in my pocket. You can get little chips like you have on your, like you have on the case of your phone. I have a similar type of chip that's on the back of my phone. You can put these on the back of your computers.
Like you said, I mean, how do we know which ones are good? This Palm case, I saw they actually tested. It was an independent company. They weren't, you know, 20 of these different things, right? Those things that you just mentioned, perhaps. And this one came out to be the best, so that's why I bought this one. It was the only reference I had because I'm thinking so many of these things are just not going to work. And how do we know and where do we get the good ones?
Okay, so certainly I can supply you with what I consider to be the best ones out there. A lot of it has to do with the scientific community. So there are four or five different, there's actually three different approaches to remediate EMF. There's a couple of science guys that have written bodies of work that have been peer-reviewed. A guy out of Princeton in 2004 had 25 peer reviews on his identifying the proper technology and then from that developing ways to remediate. So if you just sort of follow that trail, and stay behind the guys that are really doing the studies and are the pioneers in that way, you really can't go wrong. So
I think that on our website, Meredith, I'm going to throw this ball in your court with Mark. We need to create an EMF section, and then under it we can have the EMF solutions, right? And then Robbie can make those suggestions. Of course, far infrared sauna, a lot of your devices you've already created would be fall under to purchase under the EMF solutions. You know, but again, some of these other recommendations, because I know it's going to happen. There, people are going to watch this. We're going to get the emails, Meredith. You know, what do we do? What do we purchase? So you have to get Mark to create the EMF solutions section on our website, and we can make these recommendations, you know, Robbie, because you're the expert here, right? I mean, I do my own research, and you know, but this is what you do. So
yeah, And Meredith will buddy up, and I'll get you the full list. And as it expands, I'll let you know. One of the slides I wanted to show you earlier, which I'm sure you I don't know how well. Can you see this a little better now?
Yes.
Okay, so that's dark field analysis, blood analysis.
Yeah.
Microscopy. So you can see on, I think it's the one on the right, it'll be...
My right is the good cells, the left is the...
Yeah, yeah, so you can see the clumped cells and then the ones that are remediated post getting some kind of EMF protection. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the body so responds to, you know, both sides, getting affected and then being remediated. So you feel it energetically, you feel it, you know, health-wise in terms of cleaning up that all those variables. And then, you know, again, through blood screening and other ways, you can see it scientifically, that all comes back to the same thing. If you attack the cause, if you remove that cause, then you get so much closer to really getting back to that true health as the body wants to be.
Yeah.
It yearns to be.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're at the end of our time, Meredith. I'm going to let you finish up with any questions maybe you thought we missed, but close the show down. Robbie, for me, thank you. And we're going to put that on our site because I know this is going to, you know, generate a lot of interest and generate a lot of questions. And people are going to want solutions because you're right. The train left the station. There's nothing we can do. So then it becomes, how do we protect ourselves? And again, my feeling is a lot of those things out there are kind of scammy. We have to get the ones that work. And you have the technology able to figure out what those are.
Perfect. Well, thank you for having me today.
Yeah.
And Meredith.
Yeah, thank you, Robbie. This. What's that? I don't know. My internet's a little slow today, guys, so sorry about that. But, yeah, thank you so much, Robbie. This is an amazing topic, and it's exciting because we just haven't addressed it a lot on Cellular Healing TV. So this was such an educational session. And it seems to me, I just wanted to make sure that it's true that there isn't a lot of permanent damage from EMFs if we do reduce and mitigate our exposure, correct?
As far as I know, I don't see that except for the gene expression, if in fact a mutation or something can happen in altering your RNA or DNA. Yeah. Again, we see that, you know, but that will show up in some kind of symptomatic, you know, physiology. I think that what I can tell is, you know, aside from the fact that, you know, our cells or our bodies, our tissues will store these higher levels of frequencies, and the exposure will shift the body's frequencies because they'll start to mirror the higher level of amplitude from the outside stressor or influence. So if we could reduce the outside stressor, and then we could just clearly detoxify from the stored EMF in us, then the body should go back to its normal EMF resonance and body charge, and we're all back on task. I mean,
you know, that's the beauty of what I call true cellular detox, right? Because, you know, the biggest part of detox, I always say there's three components to what true cellular detox is. Number one is upregulating the cell function, you know, because the cell is able to make those reversals, even change DNA, you know, once we give it what it needs and upregulate that. That's what the 5 R's is really about, fixing the cell to get well. And then, you know, using some of these true binders, you know, that we talk about on past shows. Folks, go back and read True Cellular Detox article because that's what Robbie's saying. You know, that's the key because our cells are under this attack from chemicals and obviously now EMFs. So this is a big deal, Robbie. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and make sure to tune in next week, episode 100, so big landmark, and Dr. Pomper and I are going to be breaking down the top 10 most downloaded episodes ever on Cellular Healing TV, so not a show to be missed. Thanks again, Robbie, for your amazing information, and we'll see you guys next week.
The information shared on today's show can be accessed through our websites, drpompa.com and revelationhealth.com. This Cellular Healing TV episode and past shows are also available for download on iTunes. Help others get real health solutions by liking, reviewing, and sharing our podcast.